Our scripture reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So far we read God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Proverbs, as you know, is a book that teaches wisdom. Wisdom is, first of all, an attribute of God. In that attribute, God creates all things and uses all things and directs everything toward the highest possible goal, that goal being the glory of his own name. That's God's wisdom, directing all things toward the highest goal, the goal of his own glory. Wisdom is also a gift of God to his people. And that enables God's people to direct their lives and all the things that are part of their lives toward that same goal, toward the goal of God's glory. A man who is wise is able to live through certain circumstances. He's able to take the things that God puts at his disposal and to use all of this for the glory of God. He lives that way. Concerning wisdom, the Bible makes it plain, first of all, that the principle of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Those who fear the Lord, those who have a love for God so great and a reverence for God so great that they are directed toward him, obviously that's the principle of wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord, no one will be wise. Secondly, the Bible indicates that Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God in the sense that he's the very center of the counsel of God. The whole of the counsel of God is filled in around him, and he directs all things for that highest glory of God. If you do not have Christ, you will not be wise. This chapter in Proverbs explains wisdom from a particular point of view, emphasizing that God in his sovereignty, God in his direction, is causing all things to work in that way, in the way of wisdom. God rules over everything. Nothing happens by chance. Look at the first verse of the chapter. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What's in a man's thoughts and what words he finally speaks are something that has been determined by the Lord himself. Or again, the last verse of the chapter. The lot is cast into the lap. We might say, the dice are thrown, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. There isn't any chance, really. It's all of the Lord. How everything turns out is determined by him. And so also the text that we consider this morning, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The message of this chapter is God rules over everything. Absolutely. Everything in this world, everything in our life is under his control. We are all very much experiencing that today. The Lord is in control. And the Lord sends this virus into the world and he is controlling the entire world. And all our lives have changed because of it. We make plans. We have expectations. We have hopes. So do all men. The whole world is full of people that have plans and hopes. And without fail, the plans and the hopes of every single individual around the world has been changed, directed by God. And that's exactly what this text is telling us. Man devises his way. He decides what he would like to do and what his life would include in the future. But it's God who directs the actual steps of each and every individual. So we take then as the theme of the sermon this morning, man plans, but God directs. Well, notice in the first place the plans of men, secondly the Lord's directing, and thirdly the comfort of the saints. Man's heart deviseth his way. What does deviseth mean? To devise is to think upon, it is to plan, it is to purpose something. Something within a man that he determines to do. On this earth, human beings are the only ones who are capable of doing this. God made man unique among all the creatures of the earth. That's evident from the way God created. All the other things God said, let there be fish in the sea, birds in the air, creeping things, beasts in the field, let there be, and there was. But man was created in a unique way. God, as it were, took from the dust of the ground, and he fashioned, as it were, with his own hands, the body of man unique among all the creatures of the earth, and then breathed into him something that no other creature had, and that creation that God made man, a living soul, is unique among all the things God made. We call him a rational, moral creature. A rational, moral creature. Able to love, able to reason, and knowing the difference between right and wrong. A rational, moral creature. Man is able to think. He's able to think rationally. He's able to consider the possibilities of the choices that are there. He is able to imagine things that he has not even seen before. He is able to propose things with a purpose. This is my goal. This is my purpose if I engage in this activity. Man alone, of all the creatures that God made, is able to do this. The evolutionists who look at the level of animals, so to speak, and say, well, man is just the highest animal among all the rest, are completely wrong. They are fools, refusing to see that man alone is able to devise, to make plans, to have a goal, to have a purpose, as no other creature on the earth is able. The text says man does this in his heart. Man's heart deviseth. The heart here is used not in that technical way that we sometimes use it and that the scriptures sometimes use it as the spiritual core of man. Rather, the heart here is broader and it includes everything that we would say is within us. Within us. It includes his spiritual heart, but it includes all of his soul. So that it includes his mind, for example, the mind by which he is able to think. It includes his will, which expresses a desire and makes a choice. It includes his emotions, so that he loves or he hates, he has joy, he has sorrow. His emotions are included in that. Everything within us is included in that. A man's heart deviseth his ways. It's what's within us that is making the plans that we have. As you know, Hebrew, which is written, is the language of Proverbs, is a picture language, and Proverbs is especially that. It will draw a little picture for us and say, now, just look at this for a moment. And what you have here is a picture of a man who is planning a trip. He's planning a trip, and therefore there is a certain way he is devising for his trip that he hopes to take. He sits down and he thinks about what this trip will be like. What will this journey that he desires to go on be like? As he makes his plans, there are a lot of factors that are involved in the making of this plan. The number one is, what's my goal? What do I want to accomplish here? Why am I going on this trip? Is it a business trip? Is it a trip to visit some family or some friends? Is it a trip that I simply want to go and see scenery? There are certain things I want to behold before I die. I want to see these things. Or is it a mix of all of them? But he has to have a certain goal in his mind as he devises the way that he plans to walk, to go. Secondly, where should I go? He considers that. What cities must I visit? And how long should I stay in each one of these places? And what will I do in each of the places that I visit? And how long should this trip be? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it a day? All of these things factor in. And so he sits down and he devises his way. He makes a plan. He has a goal. He has a determination of how he intends to walk, where to walk, how long to stay, and what he will do. That's the picture. A man's heart deviseth his way. What's the point? What does that picture mean? Well, the way that a man deviseth is really his whole life. It's like a pathway that he walks on, a path that is headed in a certain direction, a path that has a certain purpose, a certain goal, a certain destination that he is seeking to achieve. The way that he goes includes really the whole of his life, all his words, his thoughts, his activities, in every sphere of life. The way that a man deviseth includes his family, the plans and dreams he has for his family. It includes his social life, his friends. It includes his work. It includes the church where he goes. It includes, if he's still in school or she, in the school. That is part of his plan, as well as his recreation. All of this is part of his way. All of this he is seeking to devise and plan the way that he should walk. It's obviously based on what's inside him. What are the desires of my heart? What do I want for myself? What do I want for others around me? What he hopes to enjoy, where he hopes to be, as it were, in a year or in 10 years, his goal in life. Man is always planning. He's always dreaming. It may be a very short-term plan. What will I do today? Maybe only for a week, or maybe for a year, or even longer than a year. But he makes plans. He devises a way that he wants to go. This picture of the text is a picture of every man, woman, and child. The hearts of all men are busy devising their way. And that's not wrong as such to devise the way. That's the way God created us, to be those who would make plans. We do not go through life as a cow who simply walks through the pasture and eats what's in front of him or eats what's fed him. But man makes plans. He devises his way. That's what the text says man is created to do. Some of them, of course, are weighty plans. Some of them are plans that have broad scope and will have sweeping effects on a person or those who are around him. There are those who have political plans. You start to see this time of year signs out saying so-and-so for senator or so-and-so for the sheriff, and you know that elections are coming. He has a desire to be an elected official. There are some who are scheming for power by political might. There are some who are scheming for power by a revolution to take over the country and become the new president or king in a country. There are economic plans. People who are devising daring business ventures, expanding the company, huge leverage buyouts that they hope to gain access to more money and more economic power. The government has plans, military plans, tax plans, plans for opening up the country and allowing people to go back to their normal way of life. There are scientific plans that people have and plans for new technologies that they have a goal. This is what they want to invent. This is what they want to manufacture. There are goals, everything from rocketing people into space to curing diseases on the earth. Man has plans. Many of them are smaller plans, smaller goals, hopes. Some men look for retirement. Some are hoping to get married. Some are hoping to get into college. They're all different kinds of plans that people are making. And that's true of us as well. Man's heart deviseth his way. Every father has plans. Some of them he's told his family. Some of them he's told his wife. And others he's keeping it inside himself and seeing whether it's a possibility. But he has plans. He has goals for his family. Maybe for himself, a different job, a different vehicle, a different home even for the family to live in. A man makes plans. Every woman has plans. She plans with her husband, but she has her own plans and goals for herself and for every one of the children that she is caring for. She has certain dreams and hopes and plans for them all. Young people devise their way. They devise their way. I need a job. Maybe it's a short-term job. Maybe it's a calling, a vocation in life, but we're making plans. Some are making plans about college, which college to attend. And then with that plan, after 4 years, I want to come out with this kind of a degree and I want to get that kind of a job. And they're making plans. They're devising their way. Consistories make plans. School boards make plans. We all do. Some of them are specific. Some of them are a bit hazy. Some of them we declare to everybody around us, and some we keep known only to God and to us. But we all devise our way. That's what man does. He deviseth his way. But the Lord directs his steps. That's the conclusion of the matter. But the Lord directeth his steps. What does that mean? The Lord directeth. The Lord directs. The word direct in English can have a couple of different basic meanings. In the first place, one idea of direct is simply to give direction to someone. Give them advice, counsel, give them direction. Someone pulls up alongside you, you're taking a walk, and they say, I'm kind of lost here. Can you help me find such and such a place? And so you give him directions. You show him this is the way you should go in order to arrive at the place where you want to go. The teacher gives directions. She hands out an assignment and says, this is the directions for doing this. Now, in both of those instances, the one who is receiving the direction may ignore them, may not be wise. If you ignore the directions as a motorist, you may find yourself lost more, even in worse state. If you ignore the directions as a student, you may find you've got a lot wrong that you didn't need to because you didn't follow the directions, but you may ignore them. They're only directions. They're advice given to you. There is another meaning of the word direct, which involves control. I would compare that to a general who is directing a battle. And he sends Company A here, and he sends Company B there, and the artillery are supposed to do this, and the planes are doing that, and the tanks are to come through here. He's directing the battle. He is using his army and sending them forth. He's in control here. They must obey. It's surely more the second idea of directing, but even that doesn't capture what the text says when it says the Lord directeth his steps. Because even there with the general, there could be someone who doesn't do what he's told. And it could be that what he has as his goal doesn't happen. But this is different when it says the Lord directeth his steps. Because the word directeth literally is to cause to stand. To cause to stand. It's translated a number of ways, which will give you a sense of what this word means in the King James. It's translated sometimes established, fixed, ordained, or ordered. Something established, something that is ordained. That's the sense. The idea is that the Lord is sovereign. He determines a man's steps. He causes them to occur as he wills it and has the power to control it. What God determines, that is what happens. That's what the text is saying to us. Man devises, but the Lord directeth man's steps. Now notice the difference. The first part of the text is a man's heart deviseth his way. So he's got his way laid out. He's got his plan made. But the step is the actual activity. I have a certain plan, but now I have to walk on that. Now I'm going to carry it out. The step is the actual doing. It's the actual word spoken. It's the actual path that is traveled. One step at a time, so to speak. Think of that. A man plans a journey, days of walking, but every step on the way, God directs. God directs. He causes it to stand. Anyone who has taken a family vacation understands the difference. Go back to that picture. The family sits down and organizes a trip. They've got goals. This is what they want to do. This is where they want to go. These are the plans. This is what we hope to accomplish and see. And so it all is laid out. This is our vacation time. But the actual vacation may be very different from anything that we plan, for good or for evil. God is the one who establishes what actually happens. Remember that man who sat down and made his plan, his journey, and all of the goals that he had, all of the things he hoped to accomplish. It's all laid out. This is what he is going to do. But the actual steps, what happens? Where he goes, what he does, is actually directed, controlled by God himself. Man plans, but God governs. That's true of all of life. Businessman has plans, great plans. I am going to expand this business. I am going to make it to become double the size that it is. I'm going to take in this much money. I'm going to be able to sell this many products. That's his great plan. But God determines whether that happens. Whether the business grows. Whether the business shrinks. Whether the business fails and collapses is in the hand of God. The farmer purposes to plant so many acres of corn, so many acres of wheat, so many acres of beans. But whether or not he actually plants that as he planned, whether or not he even plants anything that year is directed by God. He makes his plans. He has to. But the actual steps are determined by God. A young man decides he wants to go to college. And this is his goal. And this is his career goal. But whether he even makes it through college, whether he has a degree at the end, and whether he obtains that goal is in the Lord's hand. We've seen this now so much in the last 3 months. A young couple wants to get married. Had a nephew on one side and a niece on another side, and they made their plans. They had the date set. They had the church. They had the reception, the food, the people who would be invited. It's all planned. But nothing went as planned. The Lord directs the steps of each and every one of us. You do realize how loathsome this is. This is part of the fear that you see in the general public. There's a fear there. There's a fear of death. There's a fear of sickness. But even people are perfectly healthy. There's something so uncomfortable about this because they're not in control of their lives. They're not in control. Everything is uncertain. They're not able to direct it. They imagine that they are able to direct their life. Oh, there may be some problems here. There may be some people who give us trouble. But ultimately, I still can work toward my goal. But as soon as you say, no, that's not true, you understand? God is in control. That they hate. That's loathsome to them. They absolutely will not allow that thought to come into their mind that God is directing this, God sends this. When the governors of the state said, we brought the coronavirus down, and he said specifically, God didn't do it, we did it. They will not have God in any of their thoughts or in their lives. Very sad. The false church has adopted the same philosophy. When a tragedy happens, a husband dies, the house burns down, man loses his job, the business fails, they say, God didn't determine that. God is love. God is too good. He wouldn't possibly plan that this tragedy would happen in your life. That can't possibly be. And they teach rather, you can be what you want to be. Work hard. Pray to God. God surely will give you your desires, will give you your dreams. You'll be able to obtain your goals. The reason why they hate it so much is because, once again here, they stand before the truth of the absolute sovereignty of God. The absolute sovereignty of God is what they are confronted with. It humbles man. It reveals his true status. Man imagines he's like a little god who is independent, and he's able to do what he wants, and he's able to obtain what he wants. Even as I said, there may be some obstacles, maybe some difficulties, but I can do what I want. And now suddenly he is confronted by the fact he can't. There is a sovereign God who rules over all our lives. That's what this text is telling us. God is sovereign over our lives. The very name that is used here, but the Lord, all capital letters, it's Jehovah, it's the I am that I am. That name of God, so beautiful to us as his covenant name, it also emphasizes some of the attributes of God, such as he is totally independent. All of us came from someone. God is. I am. I am that I am. I ever was. I have not changed. I never will. I do not depend upon anyone. I didn't come from anyone. No one gave me life. Simply, I am. That's who he is. The Lord directs the steps. He is sovereign. He answers to no one. No one can go to Him and say, "What are you doing? I don't like what you're doing." No one. Job thought he could. And then Job finally had to stand before God, and God said, "Job, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? You don't question me. You don't ever question me. I'm God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, thou art God, and there is no changing to Him. He is the only God. And therefore, He's in control. When He created with a goal. He created each bird and fish. He created each tree, each flower. He created each bug, every creeping thing. He created it with a purpose, and it will serve His purpose. It will serve His purpose. And that's true also of men, women, and children in this life who have been given, yes, something more than the animals, something far more than the plants. Yes, they have the ability to think and to reason. They still are creatures. They're not independent. They're not able to direct even their steps in life. God upholds and sustains us. In Him we live and move and have our being, but He also governs. He governs. He governs according to a plan. The Bible calls it His counsel. The Bible calls it His will, His purpose. But all of that refers to the same thing, God's eternal plan. His plan. And I say eternal, that's what it is. It's eternally in the mind of God. He didn't have to come up with something in order to create the heavens and the earth. He didn't have to come up with something new when Adam fell. It was all in the plan of God. Eternally, that plan existed. The goal is God's glory, the glory of His name. Not that anything will be added to Him, but that He will show forth the greatness of Himself, that He will bring forth praises for the glory of God. That's His goal, that others will see it and praise Him. It's an all-inclusive plan. At the very center of that plan, as we said at the beginning, Christ is there. Everything was created by Jesus Christ, and everything was created for Him, and He directs it all. He's the very core. And around Him are the elect people of God, those whom God has eternally loved and chosen in Jesus Christ. And then around that is the reprobate, those who actually serve the cause of election, serve the church. And then the whole creation. And when God created it, the whole history of this world was already in place, eternally in His mind. And then even the history of heaven is all there in the very mind of God. This is beyond me. I can't grasp that. I can believe it, but I can't explain it to you. How can this be? Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He knows them all. There are no surprises. God does not depend on man. He doesn't wait to see, well, which choice will this person make? And then that will decide the future? No. No, it's all planned. Even the choice. And even my thinking, even my desires, it's, again, I can't explain this. It's coming out of me. It's in my heart. And yet, directed by God in such a way that He never pushes me, never forces me. I make choices. You make choices. And yet, our steps are directed by God. So man makes plans, but the accomplishment depends on God. The sovereign power of God surrounds every creature, dead, inanimate, as well as living. The sovereign power of God is there. Nothing can so much as move apart from the will of God and of Jesus Christ on the throne. Your life, therefore, your whole life, is laid out in God's plan. You devise your way. The Lord directs your steps. What a tremendous comfort as we face a life that is quite uncertain and even frightening to us. It is. God rules. And this truth has to be pressed upon our souls because we lose sight of this so quickly. We lose sight of it, first of all, because the wicked world seems to be in control. And that's what they want us to think. And truly, wicked men and women are very much in control of earthly things from our point of view. They rule in governments. They rule in businesses. They rule in other institutions, the news media. They have their hands on the power. They're able to turn the opinions of the country this way or that way. They could turn the opinions of the country to hate the church and try to destroy the church. That can happen, as we've seen now. The power to control thought and opinions in a very short space of time. They have the power to make laws that will choke the church, destroy her. And as we peer into the dark future, which seems troublesome, and we see storm clouds of persecution far closer than we ever realized. We see the Antichrist coming. We see the false church joining with him. It seems as though man is in control. But he isn't. God is in control. Presidents, prime ministers and kings, governors and policemen, they make plans. They devise their way. They have a plan for themselves. They have a plan for their country, for their state. But it's the Lord who directs the actual steps. What actually happens is directed by the Lord. And in that perfect plan of God, which controls all these things, remember, the number one goal is His own glory. And then right there underneath it, serving the ultimate goal, is the salvation of His church and causing everything in this life to work together, not only for the church generally speaking, but for the good of each member of the church. Oh, you can't even grasp that. You can't. Make a plan for yourself all day long that will be the best for you and the best for all of the people, your loved ones. You can't do it. God's plan, the highest glory of His name, and the good of every individual member of His church. Everything will work to that end. So even man's devising is part of that plan. The devising of man's heart and saying, this is the way I want it to go and this is what I plan to do. That too is part of His plan. And He will use that or He will turn it over. But that too is in His plan. God rules. That means your salvation is absolutely secure. It's secure, and again, God uses what man deviseth and how he directs it. That too is part of your salvation. You think of wicked Pharaoh, who hardened his heart, would not allow Israel to go free from Egypt. He was devising the destruction of Israel. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to kill Israel, destroy them. That was his plan. But you understand that even his plan is part of God's eternal plan, so that this had to happen. If he would have allowed Israel simply to walk out of Egypt, there never would have been the 10 plagues. There never would have been the passage through the Red Sea. The salvation of Israel in this glorious way came about because of the evil devising of Pharaoh. Even the sins of God's people. David devised adultery and murder. But in God's plan, from Bathsheba came Solomon and the royal line of David and the Christ. Or think of how our redemption was accomplished. How wicked Jews determined this is their plan. When things calm down here, we'll get someone to find Jesus out somewhere in the dark, and someone will kill him, and it'll be all over. That was their plan. And the Lord directed their steps so that there was a trial in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin, and then a trial, a public trial in front of Pilate, and that Jesus was crucified publicly, where thousands of Jews went filing past on Golgotha. And that is our salvation. That's our salvation. You can be sure, therefore, that absolutely everything in your life works together for good. No matter how unsettling it may seem to you or to me, it's for your good. And the Lord will fulfill his work of salvation. Sometimes, because men are doing things, but we don't even say in spite of the plans of men, he will use the men. He will use even ungodly men, controlling them, directing their steps for his purpose, for his. That's tremendously comforting for each one of us personally, as we know that God directs our steps. We make plans. We might even be fearful to make any more plans. No, we have to. We still have to make plans, use the wisdom that we have, and say, this is the way that I ought to live. This is the goal I ought to pursue. But then to be thankful that the Lord will direct it. If that isn't the way that things should go, if this isn't the way that's actually good for me, the Lord will direct it a different way. He will. That's tremendously comforting, because we all would shudder to think what a mess our lives would be if everything we ever wanted and planned, that's what happened. No, the Lord directs our steps. And that gives us tremendous comfort. We can go forward. The times may be uncertain, but really they always were. We only thought we were in control. Now we recognize we're not in control at all. God is absolutely in control. And that is our comfort and our joy. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy abundant goodness. Thou hast given us thy word, thy promises of thy unfailing goodness to us, how thou dost direct all things for our good. Lord, continue to do so, but give us also patience. Give us also a desire to be faithful in our walk, and yet always, always to look to thee and recognize that thy ways are far higher than ours, far, far better than ours, and that thou wilt use all things for our good, and as we desire, for the glory of thy name. Help us to live that way. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.